A love story. In our pastor's meeting, we talked about this text. And the following question was raised. Why is this verse used at weddings? When Ruth says to her mother-in-law, "For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. And when you die, I will die. And there we will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more, also if anything but death parts me from you." These are two women. Yeah. And yet the text is used at weddings. And I think it sounds really terrific. But when we do that, I think it falls short. It falls short of describing what is really talked about here, what is being revealed. The vow at a wedding ceremony, we've had quite a few here. Some of you have been married here. You know, that is so special. But even if, as good as marriage can be, with all of its ups and downs, if that's what we think of the story of Ruth, we have shortchanged God. We do that often, don't we? How was your day? Okay. We shortchange God about what he taught us, what he revealed, what he showed us, what he's done for us, what he's done through us, that we don't get excited too much anymore. You know, it takes something spectacular, something tremendous, something marvelous. For old people like me, it's when your first grandchild is born. Man, you know, you ought to have grandchildren first, right? But it doesn't work that way. The journey that God gives us and teaches us about what love is and about what his gifts are to us, that God does it in a specific pattern and in such a way, he does it for a reason. And so I want to walk you through this Old Testament chapter from Ruth to tell you about God's love. I know you know some of this. It's not going to be a shocker to you. But I think we hear so much about violence, so much about selfishness, so much about what matters, you know, to different people, that we forget way beyond all of our agendas. God showed his love. It was in the time of Judges. Now, that doesn't mean much to you because we live in the time of Parliament and Senate and Congress and presidents and things like that. But at the time in the Old Testament, in the time of Judges, this is before there was a king for Israel. This is before Saul. This is before David, who came after him. This is in a time when people tried to discern what was best and what was appropriate according to the laws of the community and the nation. In the time of the judges, the people were falling away from God. And God wanted to teach them that you think you got it made. You now have judges. Okay? You don't have just priests. You don't just have temple leaders. You have judges. And you think you're something. And the people started to live as if they were self-sufficient. Now, what does that mean in one's walk with God? I'm okay. Our relationship is okay. I just don't need you right now. And the people fell away. It wasn't shockingly fast. It happened over time. And God sent a famine. And that famine happened partly because of the fighting and the wars and the stealing and all of that, the sinfulness of man, but then also the weather. And there was a food shortage in the land where the Israelites lived, which included Judah and the city like Bethlehem. And there a man and his wife, her name was Naomi. And there the two sons, they left. They had heard there was food elsewhere. Now when they left, I bet you they didn't feel good about that. So where was God's love? It's simple sitting this far after that history. God's love was he made the famine so evident that people sought other places to get food. And he dispersed his people. And he did provide food. It just wasn't there in Judah. The God who loves showed them a way out. How many times have you ever thought, you know, God says he'll never give us more than what we can bear. And you said, I've had it up to, you know, you pick your spot, right? Well, here, God showed them, you don't have to have it up to here. You can go into the land of the Moabites. Now, to put this into context, that's like a southern boy moving to New York. They don't want to go there. They don't like them there, people. You know, they don't want none of that. It's not home. Do you understand? And Judah was like that. They didn't like it when other nations came into their land, and they didn't want to go anywhere else. And so they had to let go so that they could take care of themselves. And yet God provided a way. And there was food. And in the land of Moab, the two sons found love. They weren't good Jewish girls. And they had, from the Moabites, they had false gods. The Moabites did not believe in the one true God. Now, I remember in my day as a good Lutheran boy, you know, I heard that Lutheran boys don't marry. You know, and you fill in the blank whatever you heard. You know, this kind of a girl. And so these boys found love. And there they treasured their wives. And yet as God provided, he also turned and said that, you know, I'm going to call Elimelech home. And Naomi's husband died. And after a while, the sons died. And when we have death, we don't feel God's love. We feel hurt, let down. We feel all kinds of emotion that's swallowed up and wrapped up in a thing called grief, which has anger and resentment and denial and all this kind of stuff. And it's rough. And we don't see God's love right away. We don't see it holding on to us. We don't see it sustaining us. We don't see us helping us make it through. We don't even see it in the moments, in the 5-minute naps, when we finally just collapse from exhaustion. We don't see it, but it's there. We don't see God's love as he provided a place for Naomi's husband in his heavenly kingdom. Since that's so far away and out of sight, that's not what we want. We don't see God's love. But there it is. And when one's sons died, that's even harder than losing a spouse. People tell me that. And again, where's God's love? But there it is. And so Naomi recognizes that in her view, the worldview, her life is done. She's going to go back to her family, back to, you know, Judah, back to Bethlehem. She's going to go back there And she's going to be in poverty because that's the way it was for widows. And she's going to have to depend on family for, you know, slim scraps and things like that. There is now food back in the homeland. She has heard that. And so she goes back and she tells her daughters-in-law, this is not a life for you. In the process, the daughters-in-laws have heard about the one true God. And for whatever reason, Orpah decides to go back to the family and back to her gods. We never hear anything more about her. We don't know if she kept faith in the one true God or she actually went back to idolatry. We don't know. Ruth proclaims a faith in God. That for her to walk away from her mother-in-law is to walk away from her Lord as well. For how she learned faith was from them, and how she learned about God was through them. And God worked in her heart. And therefore you have this proclamation, where you go, I will go. And where you follow, you know, and so forth. And therefore you have this marvelous, bold commitment. But it's really a commitment about God that empowers her to make a commitment towards her mother-in-law. It's a proclamation of faith. And that faith is willing to take on and go through anything that God brings, even death itself. And God's love is right there sustaining her. And God's love is manifested in the story of Ruth, because Ruth, an outsider to the nation of Israel, she's not an Israelite. She's not a Jew. She's a Moabite. She becomes the wife of Boaz. And Boaz and Ruth have children, and the children's children. And when you follow the descendants, the line of the family tree, guess whose name comes up? His name is David, the son of Jesse, King David. When God caused the famine in the land of the Israelites, he knew what he was doing. He was sending a man and a wife to go over to the Moabites to express their love for God in the presence of a heathen people. And Ruth becomes a believer. And as Ruth is now a believer, she comes back into the Holy Land to keep that prophecy that the Son of Man will be born of the city of David, Bethlehem. And there is God's love, including an outsider, into his family. Not only his family of faith, but the family of the Messiah. And there is God's love, bringing this woman to endure, to persevere, to be strengthened by his presence, by the hope of salvation. And so they went out and they picked up what's called the gleanings, the leftovers from the harvest. And there God had a plan, and she caught Boaz's eye. Hi there, girl. New girl in town. And the Lord showed his love, and he blessed them. Think about the hard times in your life. Did you think God was gone? You can describe hard times in many ways. Hunger, as if there was a famine. Unemployment, as if there was no income. Hard times due to health issues. Okay? Hard times due to, well, for my parents having a son like me. Hard times. Do you understand? Difficult times. And there are times in our human perspective that we find it hard to see the hand of God. Ruth tells us a love story. It's about God's love. God's love that even as he causes hard times, he brings a way to persevere, to sustain us, and even to overcome. It's a love story about hope and salvation and redemption. It's a love story about being included as an outsider, but an outsider no longer. It's a love story. And it's part of God's story of love for you. Our journeys are not identical. Our days are not always equal. But the love of God, as the Bible tells us, endures forever. Right? Yeah, it's a love story. Does God love you? And sometimes we are the child that doesn't see all the things that God does, just like we don't see all the things our parents do. Sometimes we are the child that we take things for granted. Sometimes we are the child that demand things and expect things. And here our Heavenly Father provides again and again and again. Not because he has to. You know, there's no way for us as people to call the DHS on God, right? Department of Human Services. But God has chosen to love us, to care for us, and to give us what we need so that we may glorify him, so that our vow of faith may be similar to Ruth, that we will walk with God. And wherever God leads us, we will follow. And whatever God wants us to do, that we will do, so that where he is, we may be also. Why? Because there's no greater love than this, right? What love God has shown in Jesus. Amen.